We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz here with you. You're listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Pod. You may be watching the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Pod as well on YouTube, on Twitter. Check us out at both of those locales. Brandon, a lot to get into as far as the final week of the regular season goes. You know, there are some years where this week feels like a slog. If your fantasy leagues are still going, even as an NBA fan, it could feel like a slog. You got a lot of these, you know, Minnesota as an 18-point favorite over Washington type of matchups. Got a few of those on the slate again tonight, but with what, 5 days remaining in the regular season, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're still dealing with a lot of races that are yet to be settled, right? The play-in in the Western Conference, the number one seed in the Western Conference, basically seeds 2 through 8 in the East. I don't know that we're going to have resolutions for most of these until Sunday's slate wraps up.
That sounds about right. I think no matter what, the end of the regular season in the NBA, even though this is a better version of it than we've gotten in years past, and shout out to the play-in for allowing that to be the case, it's still a bit of a slog for me. Part of it is you get to the end of the regular season, it's like, okay, we know what all of these teams are. Let's just get to the playoffs and let's figure out.
That's typical Orlando Magic fan. Like, God, fast forward? Can we just get to the postseason? Jeez.
Like, you would think, like, my squad is never in a race like this, but all I see is doom. You know, I just want the season to end now. They're sitting in the 4 seed. They've already slipped from the 3 seed. Yeah. The 2 seed went from a possibility. Now it's like out of their grasp. Which is still a possibility they get that, but that's that notwithstanding. As somebody, forget fandom, put that to the side. As somebody who bets the NBA on a pretty regular basis, this is the toughest time of the entire season. Like, even though I love this sport and I love betting this sport, I have to sort of remove myself, and I'll pick my spots here and there, but there's no, you know, you get me in mid-December, I might bet the board. There's none of that happening right now. Yep. Not interested. So many games I've just gotten no interest in whatsoever.
Yeah, that's pretty much how Alex and I talked about it on the NBA show last night on SiriusXM NBA. It's like we're kind of professionally obligated to give some analysis for these games, but I don't know what you do with the Timberwolves when the number gets to 18.5. I actually took the Wizards last night, although I couched it in taking Minnesota -11 in the first half, and they were down, I think they were down 18. At the end of the first quarter, but Wizards have now covered, I believe, 5 straight double-digit numbers. So I think it's really easy this time of year to look at, you know, not only the bad teams, but like some of these teams have taken it to another level, right? Like Washington, Portland, the starting lineup that the Grizzlies threw out there last night, one of the all-time worst, and yet they find ways to hang around, right? Like even the Toronto Raptors, who had like nobody out there against the Pacers team that has plenty to play for. Yeah, Indiana ended up pulling away late, but that was a game that Toronto got off to a great start, looked dicey early. You know, the Pistons somewhat hung around with the Sixers. Like, it's really, really hard to judge the motivational aspects of things this time of year.
Well, exactly. And if you've got the stomach for betting these big underdogs, good for you. I respect the hell out of that. I like to think that I have a pretty good betting threshold for the gross that's out there, but this is my limit. I just can't do it. And I think that's the only way to go, Nick, is if you're going to bet these games, if you're going to take a side, you kind of have to just take the dog and live with it. But, you know, I respect my good hard-earned American money. It's hard to put that on the Wizards this time of year.
So we'll dive in on last night's slate. I mean, we had 28 teams playing, so plenty to talk about there. We got another decent-sized slate coming at us tonight, including the first of two showdowns between the Bucks and the Magic. Milwaukee will not have Giannis Antetokounmpo tonight, Brandon. They, in all likelihood, will not have him at all this week. And, you know, Milwaukee has the luxury, I suppose, of not having to worry about the play-in, but I am very concerned here dealing with a calf strain. The good news this morning is that, you know, the MRI late last night on Giannis's Achilles showed that that was fully intact. It's kind of a weird situation. You know, he had played well last night. I believe he took the ball out of bounds against Boston, was just kind of almost like, you know, power walking his way up the court. I wouldn't even say jogging, and, you know, immediately grabs at that calf. They indicated that it was the kind of the outer muscle, the soleus, not an anatomy guy. Don't really know exactly what that means. But this is very concerning for a Bucks team that in years past, you know, you're not getting that sacrificial lamb as the seven or the eight seed, right? Like, this would be a great year to play the 2018 Bulls or the 2014 Jameer Nelson Magic. You know, like, that's not happening in the East right now. I worry. We've seen this in the past with Giannis, you know, even the year they won the title, right? He missed a couple of games. I think it was that Hawks series, came back. They had no problem. I think of all players in the NBA, of all superstars, Giannis is at the top of the list of guys who will push through an injury like this. But the way Milwaukee's played this season, Brandon, I don't know if, like, can you get by Philly? Can you get by Miami? Can you get by even Indiana in round one if Giannis doesn't look like Giannis?
No, I think undeniably no. I would worry about their ability to get past those teams if Giannis was completely healthy because of the way this team is playing. And even in a win last night against a great Boston Celtics team that's got 62 wins on the season this year, you still look at that secondary star that they went out to obtain, and you get 12 points out of Damian Lillard. And he played 30-plus minutes. It's not like he wasn't out there. I don't know how you can feel good about this. They are so Giannis-dependent, have been for years, and even though the star power around Giannis seems to have improved on paper, this is not a team that's as good as they were a couple of years ago. And you're right. I mean, Philadelphia, not a traditional seven seed if that's where they were to finish the year. That's a team that if Embiid never gets hurt, they'd be battling for the two seed easily. And the Miami Heat, these guys are zombies. Like, there's no killing them, you know? So you never know what you're going to get from that crew. And who knows? Maybe the Miami run has kind of hit a wall. And we're all just giving them a little bit too much respect. It's not like they've been great throughout the course of this year, but yeah, you can't tell me entering into a playoff series, you wouldn't have more confidence on Miami than you would Milwaukee with a hampered Giannis.
Miami's in a great spot right now where, like, they haven't actually won anything, you know, since what, 2013. And yet nothing they do poorly seems to matter at all. Like, they have really no expectations. That as long as they're just in the playoffs, everybody gives them an immense amount of respect for, again, a team that has not won a finals since LeBron was there. But no, I agree with you, man. I mean, I think we've talked about this plenty on this show and on the radio. Like, I don't know what the matchup is. I still think if I'm Milwaukee, I want Indiana. I know that's been a house of horrors for them this year, but Tyrese Haliburton also is not the same guy now that he was early in the season. They don't have Ben Mathurin, which I know maybe Pacers fans would say that's not that big of a deal. I think depth-wise of the playoffs, that definitely matters. I think if you're the Bucks, you hope that Philly or even Miami could overtake Indiana. But as of right now, you know, it's more statistically likely that it'll be the Sixers or the Heat in round one. You know, one thing Alex and I were talking about last night, Brandon, I want to get your opinion on it, was going into Bucks-Celtics. You know, both Alex and I took the Celtics to win straight up. So, you know, take this with a block of salt. But my question to him was, is there anything the Bucks can do either last night or the rest of the week to sway your opinion coming off of that, you know, horrific four-game losing streak? Like, was there anything they could do to get you to buy back in before the playoffs? Does last night's win, Giannis injury aside, really move the needle for you? Or was that just, okay, Boston had a bad game. They didn't have Porzingis. They didn't have Horford.
Yeah, I would go with that. Boston had a bad game. This is a 62-win team that even they have stinkers. That is not indicative of who they are. And I think that they are experiencing this maybe even more than anybody else in the NBA right now. Hit the fast forward button and just get me there. And credit to them. They're still playing their guys, even though they don't necessarily need to at this point. But you can't tell me that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are giving max effort out there. It's just human nature to let your foot off the gas pedal a little bit. So I don't take a lot from that, especially because of what I said. If you got the Damian Lillard performance in a win that you're going to need in order to make noise in the playoffs, then I go, okay, maybe I'm ready to buy back in. I'm not a Dame hater. I thought this move was going to work. Before the season, I predicted the Bucks to win the championship. So it's not like I didn't think that this was going to be successful. I need to see that. I think if a healthy Giannis and a dominant Damian Lillard, even if it's just for a couple of games, I think would be enough to trick my brain into thinking they could actually do something.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
We do need to mention with this game, by the way, the Boston Celtics did not attempt a free throw. And the Bucks only took two.
That's crazy. I mean,
it was a bizarrely officiated game. I was talking to some friends watching this, like, it wasn't for lack of fouls. There were plenty of fouls that were just completely uncalled throughout this game. I'm not saying, you know, both teams should have shot 25 free throws. Both teams should have been in double digits. I mean, you look at some of the turnover numbers last night. Like, Chris Middleton had 7 turnovers. I would say at least half of them, you could hear him from the court mics saying, that's a bleep foul. Lillard had a couple of those as well. There were a couple offensive fouls. I think that really could have gone either way. I think Milwaukee benefited on two of those. Just a bizarre game to watch. Like, it was very clear early on that foul. It was like turning off fouls playing NBA Live 2005.
Yeah, I mean, the way the game has been officiated over the last several years, how you could have a player like Giannis who breeds fouls in the way that he barrels through the lane to only go to the line for two shots doesn't really make a lot of sense. I know he exited the game in the third quarter, but still, he should be at like between 6 and 8 by halftime. The way that he plays, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I know that they've been swallowing their whistles in the NBA recently, but this is taking it to a whole new level. We've never seen in the history of the league a team lose a game and not attempt a free throw, and that's what the Boston Celtics did last night. And it's part of the reason why, Nick, I'm throwing this game out. This game is weird. The Bucks shot 47% from three-point range. That's not sustainable. Not calling fouls is not sustainable. This is just one of those weirdo end of the regular season games that I'm willing to throw it away.
I think you take the honest injury out of it, it's still a net positive for Milwaukee, but I'm with you. It's not like this is, all right, Bucks are back, baby. This erases all the sins of losing to the Grizzlies and the Wizards and whoever else. elsewhere last night, the Orlando Magic did not have Franz Wagner. man, I was all over Paolo Banchero points prop. I loved it. I submitted it in multiple parlays last night.
What was that, 21 and a half? Is that what you got?
I got 23 and a half.
Ugh.
23 and a half. He got to 21, sat much longer than I thought he would for the fourth quarter. Magic were keeping it close. They didn't bring him in until around 6 minutes. Still played 36 minutes, but 0 of 5 from 3 for Banchero. Missed a couple looks late that would have gotten us there. But I really like that spot for him with Noah Wagner and a Rockets team that was dead last in defensive rating over its last five games coming into this one. But Orlando shoots 45% from the field, 7 of 24 from beyond the arc. And I didn't think Houston played all that well. I was watching this one, you know, the entire second half on League Pass. A couple big-time threes late in this game. Like I thought Orlando kept pace. You know, they kept it between 6 and 9 points over and over. Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks hit big shots.
It was such a sleepy spot for the Magic. I was worried for them going into this game because Houston is the proverbial got nothing to play for team that is just going to go out there and play free. And when you get a guy like Jalen Green playing free, that can be either really dangerous for the Rockets or really dangerous for their opponents. Once I saw him knocking down 28 footers, I thought, okay, the Magic are in for a long night. And this is where the Magic have tripped up over the course of the season. They just recently lost a game in Charlotte against the team on the road, yes, but it's far worse than what the Houston Rockets are right now, even without Alperen Sengun. They just tend to sort of fall asleep when they have these opportunities to really assert themselves in terms of playoff seeding. I've noticed this, that when they have one of these games where, okay, if you win, you're solidified in this spot temporarily, and that's sort of the rally cry going in, they tend to lose. And it has to worry any Magic fan that's out there about what this team is going to look like when the playoffs come and every single game is of that magnitude. I also think that Paolo has yet to learn, as good as he is, he's yet to learn how to take over basketball games. There's no reason why a night like last night, I think that you were right that in terms of your thought process to bet that prop. He should be shooting the ball 25 times or more in a game where Franz is not there. Markelle Fultz should not rival you.
It was a lot of Fultz attempts that
shouldn't happen. And he's so unselfish. That's what you like about him.
Yeah.
As the kind of guy that you feel like you can build around, and team chemistry is never going to be a problem if Paolo is your best player. But he's got to learn how to take over games. And he has not figured that out yet. Hopefully the playoffs help him out. But, yeah, that's a rough L for you to take in that situation. But I understand what you're thinking in that spot.
So Orlando still has a chance to at least host a playoff series. They could also fall, I guess, statistically all the way down to seventh. That's unlikely. But, fifth or sixth is realistic.
I mean, Milwaukee twice and Philly, it's not that – unfathomable. Yeah. Last night was pretty important. Last night was a weirdly important game for them, and they blew it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's now. It depends. You know, I mean, you're getting the Bucks. You're getting a huge gift here. You're catching the Bucks on the second night of a back to back for both teams, granted, but second night of a back to back with no Giannis. Giannis sure as hell is not playing in the second matchup either. So I think those become winnable. At least splitting with Milwaukee becomes a lot more realistic, if not likely. These teams are separated by, what, two games on the year. It's not like, you know, just because Milwaukee's the two seed, it's not like they've been head and shoulders above Orlando. Matchup-wise, do you want to be the two and then you're likely playing Philly or Miami? Do you want the three and then you get Indy? Do you want the four and you get Cleveland? You know, there's still a way this could shake out where they play the Knicks. Like, who do you want to play?
I think the Magic match up best with the Knicks. You got to fear Jalen Brunson, but at this point, all these teams are good. There's a reason to fear any single one of them. The Cavs have really been slipping. They've lost 7 of their last 10. I think those two would be at the top of the list. The Magic have played well against the Pacers this season. They've won 3 of 4 in that series, but they're just so different stylistically. If the Pacers are humming on offense, the Magic simply will not be able to keep up with them. It's amazing that they have the record against Indiana that they do. So that one, I have a lot of respect for Tyrese Halliburton and his game. And I think that he can be the perfect sort of foil to what the Magic want to do defensively, even if that hasn't played out. So I would say Knicks 1, Cavs 2, Pacers 3. But most importantly for this Magic team, where they've really been good is at home. They've been one of the best home teams in the league this year, 28 and 11 when they're inside of their own building. It says 28-12 if you look at the standings. One of the games was in Mexico. They need home court advantage. They got to, if they start a series at home, whoever they go up against, and then are able to get a potential game seven at home, to me, that's their only chance to advance. So whoever they play, the most important thing for them is to have home court advantage.
One thing I was thinking about last night when I was just laying in bed, unable to fall asleep, you know, my brain, of course, went to Paolo Banchero. Does he get enough credit for being the best player on a team that might win 48 games? I know we can say, you know, it's a little tougher in the West, but I mean, they have basically the same record as the Phoenix Suns right now. And you think about the talent that's in Phoenix versus the talent that's in Orlando, you know, total minutes played beyond Banchero. Franz Wagner, very nice player. Nobody's talking about Franz Wagner as a guy who's going to make an all-star team anytime soon. Maybe he's on the fringes of that conversation at best. Jalen Suggs already kind of feels like a reclamation project early in his career. Good player, but not the player they thought they were getting with that pick. You know, Cole Anthony, kind of the same deal. Wendell Carter, kind of the same deal. And then you're getting into, you know, Mo Wagner, Gary Harris, Anthony Black, Joe Ingles. Like, I would argue that this is not a great roster by any means. This is a very average roster outside of Banchero. And, you know, there's so much young talent in the league right now that I think it's easy and reasonable for Banchero to kind of get lost in the wash. But, I mean, this is a team that could finish second or third in the East, and there just hasn't been that much buzz around Banchero and what he's been able to do in year two.
Yeah, I think it's a good roster. It's definitely not a great roster. It's good because they don't really have a lot of glaring weaknesses. They can go deep into the bench, which is why they have one of the best bench units in the NBA. And when other teams break from their starters, the Magic tend to have an advantage on most nights. And you look at the talent they have, I don't think everybody has reached their potential. That would be pretty safe to say. But it's a lot of guys that were drafted inside of the top 10. So these are talented players that on any given night can kind of turn it on or turn it back off. I think that's part of it. Jamal Mosley seems to be getting more credit than anybody else that's actually playing basketball on the roster. And he deserves it. But you're right. Paolo definitely is flying under the radar. I think the reasons are pretty obvious. One, I already mentioned. He does not have a propensity to take over games. And NBA fans love that type of player, the Anthony Edwards that can drop 51 like he did last night. Paolo's not that guy. Paolo does draw double teams. He opens things up for his teammates. He's a great passer. So those things just end up, he flies under the radar. He's not a good three-point shooter. That's another thing that people tend to gravitate towards when you want to buy into an all-star level player as that being one of the guys in the NBA. You got to be able to stroke it from three in today's game. He can't do that with efficiency. So I think some of those things tend to hold him back. But the attention that is paid to him night to night from opposing NBA coaches and teams should give him more respect. But it's just not the kind of things that fans gravitate towards.
All right, we got a question in the chat on Karl Anthony Towns. Thoughts on Cat's possible return date with the recent update? I mean, we just like a minute ago got another update on Towns not planning to play tonight against the Denver Nuggets, which is a big one for seeding purposes out West. But Woj notes that, you know, it's very possible he could return against Atlanta on Friday or Phoenix on Sunday. You know, if we're asking for fantasy purposes, if your league goes through game 82, you know, obviously you'd be in a daily lineup league. I say throw him out there. I mean, unless you're in like a 10 or a 12 teamer, you know, you might have a reasonable option. It'll probably face a minutes restriction. It depends how much they could ramp him up through this week. I mean, we said the same thing about Joel Embiid last week when he came back, and I think he played 29 minutes in his return. Like, players tend to find ways to push through those limitations. And obviously the Wolves have other options beyond Karl Anthony Towns, but I think it's pretty realistic, if not likely, that he comes back Friday. It's not a back-to-back situation, so maybe plays 20 minutes Friday, rests, and then ramps up even more on Sunday.
Yeah, and while the getting the one seed as it pertains to the NBA playoffs in round one probably isn't all that different if you were to get LA or Golden State. You know, they're both difficult matchups in their own regard. But where you get these teams have to have this in their minds is that it's not just about round one. It's what happens if the Minnesota Timberwolves play the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. And you want to have home court advantage there. So I still think that even though there's just a couple of games left and the difference between one and two early on in the playoffs is not that different, these teams want that top seed for later in the playoffs. And if Karl Anthony Towns can play, they're going to throw him back out there. And I'm sure that he's a better option for you and your fantasy squad than anybody else that you would start in his place. I wouldn't look for Joel Embiid level production. Him coming back after missing all that time and being as good as he was is such a unicorn situation, but I still would think Kat could deliver for you in some way.
You mentioned the Warriors and the Lakers. We saw them face off last night. No Anthony Davis, really disappointing to not be able to play through that injury in a massive spot, especially with LeBron under the weather. I watched this whole game, Brandon. The Lakers should have won this game. The Lakers played well enough to win this game. This was one of the best shooting performances, if not the best. I believe it was actually the best shooting performance from three in NBA history by the Warriors. And they still only won this game by 14, right? I mean, they struggled to pull away. The Lakers had this thing whittled down, I think, to six later in the second half. Golden State, 26 of 41 from beyond the arc. It was borderline comical at times. I mean, Curry, 6 for 6. Klay, 5 for 10. Wiggins, 3 for 5. Draymond Green, 5 for 7. Every single shot he took was a three last night. Even Gary Payton hit a couple threes off the bench, but Pajemski was 3 for 3. I thought the Lakers played a pretty damn good game and just ran. I mean, the Warriors are almost never going to lose if they're hitting 26 threes.
I mean, it is amazing. You know, you have to sit back and appreciate what you're seeing between Steph going a perfect 6 for 6 from three-point range and yep. LeBron and his ripe old age at 39. Scoring 33 points at the end of a grueling regular season. It is amazing what we're seeing between these two teams. And it's unfortunate that one of them is probably going to get bounced early because I'm all in on these teams just making it as far as they can go. So I give out my RotoWire prize pick, prop pick of the night on our social channels every day. Last night I hit, by the way, 2 for 2.
Whoa.
One of them was Steph Curry less than 27 and a half points in a game where if you told me before the game, hey, the Warriors are going to go 63% from three-point range, I would not have been able to run away from that prop fast enough. And yet somehow, and he's perfect from three, somehow I still hit that. So that is that was the gift of all gifts for me.
If you're somebody who's been, you know, mentally harmed by the Warriors over the years, like I have, this was just a brutal game to watch. Like, come on. Like, what teams have nights like this? Of course, it's the Warriors in this spot against the Lakers with no AD, who sat due to nausea, by the way.
Been there, buddy.
Look, I get it. I don't know how you missed this game, man. This was a huge, huge one for the Lakers, especially with the Suns losing and the Kings losing. I mean, this was LA's chance, I think, to really jump up. I think we're getting Lakers Warriors in the 9-10. It's going to be an awesome game. I want both these teams in the playoffs. I don't know who I'm going to pick to win that one. I think the Lakers are the better team when healthy. I think I trust Golden State more. Like I think if both teams play their best game, I think the Lakers win. But I think the Warriors might be the team that has their better game more consistently, if that makes sense. You know, it's like I think the Lakers are the better team, but I think if you play it out like 100 times, the Warriors might win more because the Lakers have a lower floor. But I don't know. We'll get to that next week.
Last night has to concern you though, if you're a Lakers backer, because they played they played a perfect, but like even without AD, they played a nearly perfect basketball game and they just got beat by a math problem. That's the issue. Yeah. I would have to lean the way of Golden State. Last night, AD or no AD would be my reason why.
Yeah, it could go either way, right? I mean, you could say, all right, the Warriors showed us what they're capable of. I think you could also say, all right, there's no way in hell they're hitting 26 threes when we play them again next week. But either way, this is probably not exactly what the NBA thought it was getting in the play-in tournament. I think it would prefer to have both of these teams in, but I think we're heading toward a showdown there in the 9-10. Again, the Suns losing, the Kings losing. Huge for the Lakers, or I guess huge for the Lakers to lose as well. You look at Clippers Suns, 105-92. You're like, okay, you know, Clippers, no Kawhi, no Harden. Nice effort there. This game was 35-4. 35-4 early in the first. Well, I should say late in the first quarter. I think with about a minute left, the Suns, I think it was Booker, got to the line and hit a couple of free throws. Credit to Phoenix for rallying all the way back. I think they had it down to 11 or 13 late for a while there. It looked like we might see the biggest comeback in NBA history. But at the end, it was just too much. And I don't know what to make of the Suns team, man. I mean, you have Durant, you have Beal, You have Booker, who, by the way, went 1 of 11 from the field. No Kawhi, no Harden for the Clippers, and you're down 35-4, 11 minutes in.
I don't know if I can predict NBA Finals matchups anymore. We'll see how it plays out. Season's not over yet. But I had the Bucks and the Suns before the season started. These are the two most dead teams in the NBA in terms of the teams that are actually going to make the playoffs. It's actually kind of laughable. I think their problems, though, are maybe a little bit easier to point out. They have the worst. So they must have the worst supporting cast in the entire NBA.
I don't know.
I mean, outside of their big three, I don't really like anybody on their roster.
Yeah. So to be fair to the Suns, they didn't have Nurk last night. I don't know if that's the difference between falling behind 35-4 or not, but they're starting Drew Eubanks. Grayson Allen, I think, has had close to a best case season. You know, a lot of people like Royce O'Neal. Eric Gordon, you know, was considered a nice pickup, especially for the price. Like, it's not a great supporting cast. And when you get beyond that, I think that's where you see the big drop off, right? There's like guys who just probably shouldn't be playing beyond that top seven or eight. But I don't think it's like catastrophically bad.
But here's the problem. It wouldn't be catastrophically bad if your stars were playing at their best. And I don't think we're seeing Bradley Beal at peak Beal anymore. We're not seeing as good as KD has been. And the numbers, I don't think, back up the drop off that we've seen from him, because he's still scoring a ton. But he's not the magnet that he used to be that opened things up for everybody else. And Devin Booker is phenomenal. But Devin Booker is not a number one. He is an elite number two. And right now you have where Kevin Durant has kind of slipped into that tier as well. And Beal is like a three at best. So you've got a couple of twos and a three and a bad supporting cast. We always knew this. The biggest drawback, even if you thought all these guys were going to play at their best, is how does it actually fit? And I still don't see fluidity in the way that they play, and not having a true natural point guard, I don't think, helps them. So the fact that you're not getting their stars at their best and they don't have one of the better supporting casts in the NBA, there's just something that's not really lining up. And it's a little bit like Milwaukee in that this has been the case. This isn't something new. This isn't a new revelation. This is something that has not yet come together, and we're almost to game 82. So you have a real reason for concern here.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, you know, they would be in that 7-8 game against the Kings. Let's say they win that and get the 7. Things could very well change over the next 5 days, but right now where things stand, that would mean a matchup with Denver in round one. That's curtains. Maybe the Suns take a game, right? I think you could see, you know, Durant 30, Booker 28, Beal 22, and they, you know, they steal a game against Denver. I think the Nuggets would welcome that matchup.
Oh God, of course. Yeah. And there's nobody in the world that would take Phoenix in that situation.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, so I want to define bench scoring in the NBA. Would you like to take a guess as to where the Phoenix Suns are?
Based on your tone of voice, I'm going to say it's not in like the top three. 29th.
You are correct. They are 29th.
Who's worse?
The Chicago Bulls. Now, that's not necessarily a death knell. Okay. The bottom five is Lakers, Celtics, Knicks, Suns, Bulls. So it's not like this is the difference between you being great or bad, but yeah. Those teams that I mentioned have star players that are carrying their teams more than the star players for Phoenix are. So it's a combination of the two. It's the problem with their bench and supporting cast guys and all of that is part of the equation, but I haven't seen the dominant level of play from Durant and Booker and Beal that we thought we would see over the course of the season. And that's why I'm with you. They meet Denver in the first round, no doubt. I think Denver probably wins that in five.
You know, if they can find their way to the six, that becomes interesting. And, you know, they have a rematch against the Clippers in LA this time tonight. At Sacramento on Friday, which is a massive one. And then at Minnesota Sunday. Will be interesting to see if Minnesota really pushes for the one seed or if they care about that versus getting the two or the three. But if they could get up to six, you know, maybe play OKC, maybe that ends up being Minnesota. I almost think, I mean, that's significantly more appealing to me than Denver. Those are still really good teams, but the Thunder to me, I don't want to sound like a Thunder doubter, because I actually really like this team. They made a huge rally last night to get a big win against the Kings with SGA and Jalen Williams back in the lineup. 40, by the way, for SGA. I cannot believe this team didn't do more to add size. All due respect to Bismack Biyombo, I don't know that that's exactly what they were missing. And I don't know if the Suns are the team that can exploit that. In fact, they probably aren't. But there are a lot of teams in the West that can, right? Like if the Lakers find their way in and play OKC, I don't know if I'm taking the Thunder in that series, even though I feel like I should.
There's just not a lot the Thunder don't do well. And I know that we haven't seen it before. I think that's the biggest hesitation for all of us that are trying to forecast how the playoffs are going to go. But OKC matches up so well with almost everybody that they're going to face. And you know, fortunate for them, the teams that are above them in terms of Minnesota and Denver would be the teams that would give them the biggest problems. But I like them in a series against anybody else that's beneath them in the standings in the Western Conference right now. I think SGA has that killer in him, that takeover mode. He can do that. They play really well defensively. Their supporting cast is as good as any in the NBA. And if you get an elite defensive effort from Chet Holmgren in the playoffs, I think the sky's the limit for OKC. Several weeks ago, I bet them at 22-1 to win the NBA finals, because I figure if they make it that far, why not? So usually teams that are this good, you don't get them at odds like that, but because we haven't seen it from OKC, I feel like there was a little bit of a bargain there.
You know, it's tough right now, and obviously next week we'll be able to do this, but like, I really like to look at the path for a team, much like you would for the NCAA tournament. And like, it's just impossible right now. I have no idea who anybody's going to be playing in any round, right? You can't really forecast. All right, well, round one, they have a good matchup. You know, I do think it's highly likely that we get Clippers Mavericks in round one. That's about the only thing that's solidified in the West. I really like the Mavericks in that series. It depends on Kawhi, I guess. I mean, this is like, we've seen this from Kawhi, right? This time of year, the worst possible time for an injury. It's still very much unclear if he's, you know, kind of resting up or if this is something we really need to be concerned about 2 weeks from now. Obviously, if they don't have Kawhi, I think that becomes really appealing for Dallas. But even if they do, that's close to a toss-up series for me. I mean, Dallas has been fantastic, right? I mean, they've won 15-17 after last night.
Yeah, well, I want to like Dallas more, and we've seen Dallas perform well in the postseason, but that was also when they had Jalen Brunson on their roster. Yeah. Let's not forget about that. Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs is kind of like, we go back to the conversation about, I guess LeBron's in his own category, but like the Suns guys, what do you actually have left? Are you still, when push comes to shove, that same player who at their best it looks like a top 10 player all time? If Kawhi can channel that, and I still think that that is within him, then Dallas is going to have a really hard time knocking the Clippers out, because the Clippers will be able to lock down defensively in a way that Dallas can't. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need these superhero efforts from Luka in order to get past this Clippers team. But I'm not sure you're going to get that. And I would venture to guess, if I had to set the over under for missed games in that round one series for Kawhi at 1.5, I think most of us would probably lean the over. And if that's the case, mm-hmm. then you're right. Dallas is the way to go. In a coin flip, I would take the Mavericks as of right now.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch Dallas in the playoffs, man. I think you summed it up really well. Are they capable of locking down when they need to? I don't know that they are. They're almost looking to do the opposite. They're like locking down on offense, right? They're like, we know that we can't get stops, but we know that you probably can't stop us. And in theory, the Clippers could get stops. I also worry about what version of James Harden we're getting. I mean, we're going on like year 12 now of him never playing as well in the playoffs as he has in the past. Who knows on Russell Westbrook, who I forgot to mention had a 16-15-15 triple-double last night out of nowhere.
Vintage Westbrook last night.
Yeah. I do feel like historically Paul George has played pretty well in the playoffs. I know it was like a few years ago we had that like historically bad series, but he's had some really good series over the years in Indiana and OKC and even with the Clippers. So I think that's a fascinating matchup. That's two teams I almost don't want to see play each other, because I kind of want to see how far they could go. You know, you get down to New Orleans at 6. I'm starting to sour on the Pels a little bit. I don't know, especially if they don't get a fully healthy Brandon Ingram back. Are they beating OKC? Are they beating Denver? Are they beating Minnesota? You know, if they stay there at the six, I don't really see it.
No, I don't either. They would have to be completely healthy. And this is a team that I was starting to really buy in on a couple of weeks ago. But Brandon Ingram is so key. They can't win without him. He is their most potent scoring punch. I love what you're getting from Zion right now. But the Pelicans, for me, are like the opposite of Phoenix, where without Brandon Ingram, I worry about the star power. I don't worry about the supporting cast. I love the support. And that's part of the reason I bought in on New Orleans, because they had those top echelon type of players, but they also have this base, this bench that they can go to, and they just throw wings at you for days. That kind of stuff plays really well in the postseason, but without your best scorer, I just don't see it. So that's another reason to like OKC. If things fall the way that they are right now, I think Oklahoma City would take care of New Orleans pretty easily.
All right, we'll head out more momentarily, Brandon. But before we do that, the Prize Picks, they're up at RotoWire NBA Twitter. Go check those out. We put those out 7 days per week. Brandon's been doing a fantastic job with these. Like we said, we hit last night, so we got to stay hot here. Where are we leaning on tonight's slate?
All right, I am fading Donovan Mitchell, Donovan Mitchell's return, and I'm going with a discount on his teammate. Over 23.5 points plus assists for Darius Garland, who has been quietly the best guard on that team for the last couple of weeks. And they go up against the Memphis Grizzlies team. I think they're 18.5 point favorites right now. So you're probably going to need Garland to hit this pretty quickly. But he's been awesome lately. So I love that. And then I'm fading my own guy, Franz Wagner, under 18.5 points tonight. And this is if he plays. If he doesn't, you get a wash of a bet and don't worry about it. But I think he'll be back out there off of an ankle injury. You don't know if he's going to be 100%. And while if you look at his last couple of games, you go, oh, man, he's been hitting this. He has missed this mark in 10 of his last 15 outings. Franz still a little bit uneven on offense. Magic on the second night of a back-to-back. Don't love them in terms of a scoring output or Franz to go above 18.5 points.
Okay. I like it. Total on that one is 215.5. We'll see who's out there for Milwaukee. You know, they've still been resting Chris Middleton on back-to-backs. That could sway things a little bit. But I like your line of thinking there. For one, you know, he's basically, 60-40 to play right now? Yeah. And if he doesn't, like you said, you know, you wash it out and you look somewhere else. If he does play, he's not going to be 100%. And, you know, you never want to bet on like a re-injury, but with an ankle that he rolled 3 days ago, you could tweak it. You know, I think that's right. I don't think the projection is discounted enough to account for that.
No, it's not. And I'm honestly surprised that the number was that high, which is why I leaned in that direction. It's been tough for him lately to even get to above 18.5. You add the injury on top of it. And this team, when they cool off offensively, they tend to be streaky in both directions. And last night did not like what I saw from this team on offense. Milwaukee waking back up too has to be part of the equation. The fact that they gained a little bit of confidence with that win, if they're able to lock back in, I think life could be hard on all Magic players, and definitely one that if he rolls his ankle again, they'll yank him so fast it'll make your head spin.
All right, fun 8-game slate coming our way tonight. We'll have a recap on the pod tomorrow from Rick Kamla and Steve Dr. Ray Alexander. No Friday episode anymore. Shannon, Ken, Alex, they have stepped away from the mic. Obviously, there's no waiver wire after this week. So don't be
taking their talents to South Beach.
Huh? Yeah, don't be alarmed. South Beach, I think Shannon usually retreats to Michigan this time of year. Don't be alarmed if there's no Friday episode, but we'll continue to mix these in throughout the playoffs. We'll be talking play-in tournament next week. We'll be talking postseason preview, and we'll have these going throughout the playoffs as well, giving you some betting advice, giving you some prize picks advice, things of that nature. Brandon, good chatting with you as always, man. Enjoy the Masters this week.
Yes, same to you guys.